My name is John Elliott, and this is a podcast from the Insights in Jazz series, www.dropback.co.uk. This week we've had a request for a podcast about the standard whisper knot. This request comes from Trevor Gordon. The standard whisper knot is by Benny Golson, written in 1956, and in the late 50s it was recorded by lots of people, Dizzy Gillespie's big band, which Benny Golson was playing at the time. Also Golson's band recorded it themselves. Lee Morgan, Art Blakey, Wynton Kelly, which is one of my favourites, and actually is the one that I transcribed quite a few years ago to learn this tune. Ray Bryant, Wes Montgomery, all these guys recorded it in the 50s. And then Leonard Feather wrote some lyrics, and there were quite a few vocal recordings of the song, such as Anita O'Day, Mel Torme, Peggy Lee, Ella Fitzgerald. But this song is still being recorded today. Since the 1980s to the present day, you know, it's been recorded by people such as George Cables, Keith Jarrett, Christian McBride, Joe Locke, you know, lots of people. So it's still a very popular standard. So let's look at the analysis. Whisper knot is a classic AABA form, a 32-bar song. And the thing that stands out for me about this song is the backslider join, which is used quite a lot. And the characteristic of the backslider join is it takes you backwards around the key cycle. So if you imagine looking at the A section, if you imagine that the C minor looks as though we're in the key of C minor temporarily, you have a backslider join to the A half diminished, starting a cadence to G minor, which is one key backwards around the, you know, the key cycle. And as soon as we've done that cadence, we backslide again to a launcher into D minor. So it's going backwards around the cycle a second time. If you look on page 45 in the Insights in Jazz book, you'll see the diagrams of key cycles and how the key changes if you use regular cadences with the particular joins. If you look at the diagram that represents the backslider, then if you imagine starting on flat 7 on the top right and you backslide twice, you get to key 1. So if key 1 is D minor, key 4 would be G minor, and key flat 7 would be C minor. So whisper knot starts on C minor, backslides to G minor, key 4, and then backslides again to D minor, key 1. That's what's happening visually. And the opposite of a backslide, as you can see from these diagrams, is the bootstrap. And so when you get to the end of the second A, you end in D minor. If you ignore all of the chords that are walking up, if you ignore the E minor 7, the F minor 7, the B flat 7, we start the bridge effectively with a bootstrap. From D minor to A half diminished is a bootstrap. That starts a cadence which takes us to G minor, and you can see that the bootstrap is complementary to the backslider. So it takes us from key 1 to key 4, from D minor to G minor, and then halfway through the bridge we backslide again as though we're going to go back to D minor, which is what you'd expect. And the second half of the A section starts with a plain old turnaround in the minor key of D minor. So 1-6-2-5, you see there. And then it ends resolving on D minor, but does a diatonic kind of walk up to a launcher back to C minor. Now the chord is F minor 7, G 7 here. Now F minor 7 functions like D half diminished over F. So it just allows the bass to walk up diatonically. But the chords aren't all diatonic, because at the point we get to the F minor, we've got the A flat, which is no longer in the key of D minor, and is getting us ready to launch back into C minor. So it's quite a cunning way of flitting through several keys. If I was asked what key is this tune in, I think I'd probably say it's in D minor, because it ends in D minor, and you know, the end of each A section is predominantly in D minor, so to me it feels like it's in D minor, but it's a tricky one to call on a gig. need to be careful what key people think they're playing in, because obviously it starts on C minor 7, and so that could actually be, if you think of tunes like Autumn Leaves that start on C minor 7, you know, it could be saying it's in B flat or G minor, but actually I reckon it's in D minor. The opening four measures of Whisper Not are like the opening four measures of the last eight of On Green Dolphin Street. It's quite interesting. So you have a minor 7 chord backsliding down to a cadence, which again backslides to a launcher, which is the same chords that you see in Green Dolphin Street. In Green Dolphin Street, though, you're starting on chord 2. In Whisper Not, the C minor 7 isn't like a chord 2 because the key of B flat is never established in the whole song. So even though the chords are the same, I don't hear this as quite the same thing. In Green Dolphin Street, I analyze these same chords as being an autumnal cadence, which is the one that starts as though it's going to start the cadence to a major key. The C minor 7 would be heading towards B flat major, and then it does a body swerve and backslides to A half diminished D7 and ends up at G minor, the relative minor to B flat major. So that's why I analyze it in Green Dolphin Street as an autumnal cadence with a backslider, because that's more realistic about what's going on there. But in this case, there is no key of B flat to be established here. The whole tune has a feeling of being in various minor keys, I'd say. Trevor Gordon, who requested this podcast, points out that some of the chords in Whisper Not are similar to the chords in How Deep Is the Ocean by Irving Berlin. There's the opening where we see a backslider between two minor keys. And there's also the ending of How Deep Is the Ocean, where we see this autumnal cadence thing going on again. So that's the A section analysed. The second A section ends in a very similar way, but with a slightly different chord to get us to the bridge. So instead of the G7 to get us back to C minor, we have a B flat 7, which drops chromatically down to the first chord of the bridge, A half diminished. So I've put, it's not an official join here, but I put in parentheses, I put down half step just to remind you that's what the bass is doing here, and I'm not giving it. It's not one of the well known 12 joins in the method. And so the bridge, the B section, is very simple indeed. It's there's a cadence. It starts with a cadence in G minor, key 4 in this case. A half diminished D7 G minor. Some people play an overrun of a C7. In the Wynton Kelly version I transcribed, they just stay on the G minor and drop the bass to F because they're heading towards the E half diminished in the second half of the bridge. And that makes it another backslider. So it's as though we're in G minor and we're backsliding back to D minor. We start the second half of the bridge with E half diminished A7 as though we're going to D minor. But actually we carry on doing another 2-5 round the cycle, a D half diminished G7, because we need to start the A section in C minor. So the second half of the bridge becomes a minor spot, suspended plane all turnaround. But you can see it's made up of two 5 pairs that actually end up getting us backwards around the key cycle back to where we need to start at C minor rather than D minor. And the final A is pretty much like the other two, apart from to launch back to the top. This time I've put in a nowhere launcher, an A flat 7, G7, just to show another variation of what you could do here. Now they're all effectively the same, the A7, the F7, or a D half diminished. They're chords that fit well before a G7, which launches us back to the C7. So that's it for Whisper Not. My name is John Elliott. I'm the author of Insights in Jazz, which is available from www.dropback.co.uk. If you've got any questions you'd like to ask about the podcast or the method in the book, or any suggestions you'd like to make for future podcasts, then please contact me by emailing me at john@dropback.co.uk. If you found this podcast useful and you'd like to leave a tip, then you can visit the website where there's a PayPal donate button. Thanks for listening.